It's time to get serious. It's time for Radio X.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Well, good afternoon there, boys and girls. Welcome to another edition of Radio X here on the one and only Oracle Broadcasting Network. I'm Jimmy X, your host. I want to say hello, as always, to our AM and FM affiliates around the country, in particular Liberty 1640 and their group of stations in the Sioux Falls, South Dakota area. Hope you're enjoying the afternoon. Also, those of you listening locally here in Buffalo on Micro 1650 AM, our flagship station. And we're now being simulcast on the Orion Talk Radio Network. As always, a standing invitation to come on into the chat room and join up with some other folks who are listening and chatting amongst themselves, making some interesting comments. You can do that by visiting oraclebroadcasting.com. Click on the chat room link, scroll down, find Radio X, come on in, and say hello. By the way, today is Sunday, May the 15th, 2010, so we're clear on what day it is, so you don't... You know, if you hear this again, you'll know it's a rebroadcast. Anyway, my guest on the show today for hour number one, let's welcome back Reverend Ted Pike. You can find out all about what we're going to be talking about and more at his website, truthtellers.org. Good morning, Reverend Pike, sir. How are you?
Well, real good. Thanks for having me on, Jimmy.
No problem. I always love having you for your semi-regular visits to the program. Today on the show, Ted, of course, we're going to discuss ENDA. And in this short segment we have here before our first break, why don't you give us the lowdown here, as it were, on just what ENDA is?
Well, ENDA stands for the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. It's another one of these hate crimes bills basically created by the Anti-Defamation League, but largely promoted by the homosexual lobby. It's similar to the federal hate crimes bill, which was signed into law by President Obama last fall, in that it gives blatantly preferential rights and protections to homosexuals, about 1.5-2% of the American population, over the other 98%. And basically, ENDA is the ADL's workplace hate crimes law. Number one, it says that any employer of over 15 employees must hire a qualified homosexual, and if he has hired that homosexual, he cannot fire the homosexual because of his sexual orientation. What this means, of course, is that the homosexual, if he's into transvestitism, can arrive at work with a stubble beard and broad shoulders and yet wearing his pantyhose and his dress. He has the right to stand at the counter and basically shock a normal Americans as they come and try to do business there. So it's a very, very discriminatory and problematic type of law, basically victimizing business owners in America. The ENDA bill also may well extend eventually to churches, requiring churches to hire homosexuals in non-spiritual positions, which would include bookkeepers, janitors, and even counselors at summer camps and things like that. And then also one of the most horrific elements of ENDA, which is really creating a lot of backlash right now, is the provision in Section 8 of ENDA, which basically says that homosexual employees of one of these businesses, which could include, let's say, a college. If you had an employee of a college who, according to ENDA, wants to declare himself to be transitioning into femaledom, becoming a woman, he doesn't even have to prove that he's taking estrogen therapy or engaging in surgery or anything like that. All, according to ENDA in Section 8, all he has to do is declare to the administration of that college that he is transitioning into a girl, and therefore he automatically has federal endorsement to enter female bathroom facilities.
All right, Ted, let's hold it right there for a moment. Back with more in 3 minutes. All right, folks, we are back. It's Radio X coming to you live Sunday, May 15th, 2010. Is it the 16th? I don't even know what day it is. Oh, it's the 16th. Shame on me. Ted, I'm a day behind.
You're doing better than I am.
I can't believe it. I said the 15th before, too. Oh, my goodness. I am, like, really, really behind the times. Anyway, it's Sunday the 16th, and welcome to Radio X. My guest is Reverend Ted Pike. We're talking about this bill that is looming before Congress entitled ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. And, Ted, you were giving us a description. Unfortunately, we got cut off by the break. You were talking about how this will even trickle down to colleges, where someone may just simply openly declare that they, whatever, you know, gender it happens to be that they identify with, and that's going to be good enough. How can that be?
Well, you would have to be an employee of the college, because this is a workplace hate crimes law. It doesn't mean that anybody can declare themselves transitioning and then walk into female bathrooms, at least not yet. But the Employment Non-Discrimination Act is an attempt to basically apply the same kind of preferential treatment to homosexuals and transgenders as was given to blacks under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And the homosexual lobby, the ADL, are all claiming very loudly that that these people today, these sexual deviants and so on, are also should be given special privileged federal status. And of course, that's in violation of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, which prohibits the government from giving special rights and protections to one group over another, regardless of how much they have suffered.
Right, but apparently, as with the hate crime that passed last year, apparently the federal government cares not for the 14th Amendment, or is simply ignoring the fact that it's written in the Constitution.
Absolutely not. In fact, we do have a video at truthtellers.org. It's a 10-minute video. You can watch it right on the home page, in which Eric Holder is being cross-examined in the Senate Judiciary Committee this spring, and he flat-out states repeatedly that the federal hate crimes bill makes no pretension to give equal protections to all Americans from violent hate crimes. It's entirely restricted to homosexuals and other ostensibly persecuted groups throughout history, such as Jews, blacks, Chicanos, etc. So all of this legislation is flagrantly in contradiction to the American way of justice and equality for all. It's actually special rights, special privileges and protections only for the smallest minorities, really, of this nation.
And you know, Ted, let me go back to something you mentioned before, too, that this would actually force churches, for example, to hire openly gay people as, I guess, lay positions, right, you were talking.
Uh-huh.
But you're aware of what the Lutheran Church did, right, recently, by reinstating two openly gay pastors down in Atlanta, Georgia, I believe. I know for a fact, that the Lutherans were allowed to vote on what they thought across the country a couple of years ago, what they thought about openly gay pastors serving, and the overwhelming majority said they thought it was a conflict within their teachings and their scripture and their religion. And so a lot of these people obviously were forced to leave the church or find other positions. Now, again, I mean, I'm pointing this out because, again, it doesn't seem to matter. I mean, even the Lutheran Church can go on record and say, well, it doesn't really matter what the majority of our congregants said. We're just going to simply go put these people back into positions that you yourself told us you didn't want them in.
Yes, unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah, well, there's an increasing decadence in Christian, so-called Christian churches throughout the Western world, especially as materialism, worldliness, fear of man, all of these kinds of things erode the authentic Christianity that they once had. And especially liberal denominations like United Presbyterians, United Methodists, and these liberal groups, they're rotten. They're a basket of rotting apples, which is progressively becoming more corrupt. And as far as allowing homosexuals into churches, at least in lay positions, the bill is not clear on that, because the Civil Rights Act of 1964 is not clear on that. You see, this is legislation just like the hate crimes bill, which is an amendment to, which is an addition to the substratum, the foundation of the Civil Rights Act of 64. And the Civil Rights Act of 64 is very specific that blacks should receive not only equality, but special rights, special privileges like affirmative action, busing, hiring quotas, and all those kinds of things, in blatant violation of the 14th Amendment. And when that legislation came through in the mid-1960s, there was such an emotional empathy with the blacks and their plights and so on that the nation really didn't care that the 14th Amendment was being violated. But now we're having to pay the price for that oversight. And the fact of the matter is that if ENDA is passed, the Attorney General, Eric Holder, will have it within his powers to declare whether enforcement will be required of churches or not. And as a result, the Jewish community in America, liberal Judaism in America, is in a total attack, an imploration to Eric Holder to extend the provisions and the requirements of homosexuals' employment to Christian churches. And as you may know, radical Judaism, I should say secular Judaism in America, as epitomized by the conservative branch and by the reform branch of Judaism, have now gone over into very clear public statements in support of homosexuality, in inclusion of homosexuals in their clergy, and so on. So it's no skin off their back to allow homosexuals into these liberal Jewish organizations, and they're demanding also that Eric Holder make the same requirements incumbent upon Christian groups. And, of course, meanwhile, the Christians believe that these Jews of ADL and liberal Jews like this are all God's chosen people, and they should never be criticized, and there's some terrible curse from God. And meanwhile, the fact of the matter is that organized Jewish supremacism and world Jewry are working overtime to subvert Christian values and civilization. And that's why it's no accident that the Employment Non-Discrimination Act was written by two Jewish supremacists, homosexual Barney Frank, and also by Chai Feldblum, who is the daughter of a Hasidic ultra-Orthodox Jewish rabbi. She actually wanted to become a female rabbi in ultra-Orthodox Judaism, but they wouldn't let her do it. So she went on to become a lawyer, a legislative lawyer, working with the ADL, working with Frank, to contrive this very transgender provision we've been talking about here today.
Right, Ted, we have to go to a break. Hang on the line. Folks, my guest, Reverend Ted Pike, truthcolors.org is his website. You can find out all about this ENDA nonsense, as well as plenty of other great information. Again, that's truthcolors.org. We'll be back with more Radio X as we continue our discussion about this Employment Non-Discrimination Act. 1-866-841-1065 is the number if you want to chime in. Back in 3 minutes. All right, welcome back, folks. Radio X here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Again, I want to invite you to come on in the chat room. Some interesting folks in there sharing their opinions about what we're talking about on the show today. You can do that by visiting oraclebroadcasting.com, or if you're already there, just find the chat room link on the left-hand side of the page. Click on that, scroll down to Radio X. Radio X, come on in and say, hello, my guests are Reverend Ted Pike. Truthcolors.org is the website. And we're talking about this impending piece of legislation known as ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. And, Reverend, I guess it's really important to point out, though, there's been a lot of backlash concerning this bill, and that's good to know. That there are still several Americans that really are opposed to having this kind of thing shoved down our throats. But in particular, right now it looks like the bill may be in trouble anyway due to the section on the transgendered legislation that this includes. Explain that to us.
Well, there's lots of reports coming out, not only from the homosexual press, but also from mainline capital media reporting, that The Democrats are kind of getting cold feet about endorsing this transgender provision because, number one, they're facing re-election, many of them, in only 5 months now. And the word is out that the Democratic leadership is beginning to look askance at any more controversial, really controversial bills leading up to the midterm elections. And if they go ahead with INDA, you see, that will bring this controversial issue, the women's showers and restroom facilities opening to voyeuristic men and all this kind of stuff, getting egg on the face of the Democrats. And it's not going to end this spring either, because there's a good chance that even if the House does pass it, and they evidently do have the votes to pass it in committee and on the floor of the House, but there's a good chance that the Senate will not be able to take up that issue before July 31st when the summer recess begins. And what this means is then that the issue of the Senate passage of INDA would be something that would take place in the fall around midterm elections or after it or before or whatever. And what this would mean is there would be intense controversy of an issue identifying the Democratic Party with pro-homosexuality, pro-perversion, and so on, leading right up to the polling, coming to the polling places in November. And the Democrats are very wisely beginning to count the cost here. Now, this is an excellent time for all Americans, those who love freedom, to jump on this tremendous opportunity and get those calls going in. And at truthtellers.org, we have the list of the 13 fence-straddling Democrats, plus one Republican, who need to be contacted by the people right now. In fact, why don't I just read the list of those right now? If people can't, maybe you're in a car or something and you can't actually get to Truth Tellers. And what we need to do is to let those crucial senators know that we are going to take revenge on the Democrats in November if they vote for this terrible legislation. If I could, I'll just give the toll-free number.
Sure.
That's 877-851-6437. Again, that's 877-851-6437. Now, the first thing we should do is to call the two senators from your state. But once you've done that, you need to call these 13 senators. And here, I'll just give their last names to save time here. And if you have a pen and paper handy, folks, get this written down. And of course, this information is available at truthtellers.org, right on our homepage in our latest articles. But if you can't get there, here's the name, the crucial names we need to call, guaranteeing that these 13 crucial Democrats plus one Republican do not come out in favor of INDA. You see, the problem is right now that there are at least 15, even more, Democrats in the U.S. Senate who have not come over and publicly endorsed INDA. This means that the Democrats are at least 15 or so more votes shy of the crucial 60 votes they need in order to pass INDA in the Senate and to back down any kind of a Republican filibuster attempt. So if we can continue to bombard them, then we can neutralize them and we can take spirit out of the whole thing. Because if the Democrats in the Senate are not going to pass INDA, then that also kills it in the House. Because what's the point of killing it in the House and then not being backed up by passage in the Senate? The INDA would receive a reputation as a two-time loser, even more dampening its hopes of being revived perhaps in the next Congress. So I should mention also that since I first published at truthtellers.org the names of these fence-straddling wavering Democrats, we've had a tidal wave of people coming in. Literally, there have been thousands now who have called in to to the Senate offices, and I did a poll last week. I called all 13 of them myself, and I found, although many of these Democrat offices are very reluctant to give out statistics, there were four of them that was said that there was heavy calling coming in, both pro and con, throughout last week, concerning the end of the bill. So let's continue the momentum of this.
Right.
We have a tremendous opportunity here. Here are the names of the 13 you should call. Warner, W-A-R-N-E-R, Conrad, C-O-N-R-A-D, Dorgan, D-O-R-G-A-N, Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N, Rockefeller, R-O-C-K-E-F-E-L-L-E-R, Byrd, B-Y-R-D, Reed, R-E-I-D, Baucus, B-A-U-C-U-S, Nelson, N-E-L-S-O-N, Tester, T-E-S-T-E-R, Hagan, H-A-G-A-N, By, B-A-Y-H, and the Lone Republican, Scott Brown, B-R-O-W-N.
And Ted, let me interrupt you. We only have about a minute before we go to break here, as it is, but I'm looking at these names, and yes, these again, folks, are posted at truthtellers.org. Just find Reverend Pike's article about We're Backing Down ENDA. That's one of his latest concerning this. And actually, I have to be honest with you, Reverend, no surprise from some of these names. You know, Reed, Rockefeller, Evan Bayh, Democrat of Indiana, of course, too, former Klansman Robert Byrd. You know, that never gets talked about, by the way.
Yeah.
But the big surprise, or not to me, but I'm sure to some, would be Republican Scott Brown. He's the man that just upset the Democrats in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here we go. So that should tell you something right there. But, you know, the Democrats are already in trouble, as far as I'm concerned, in the midterms. I think that you're right, though. This would be, I think, the nail in their coffin, for sure, if any of these people. I mean, you have people like Harry Reid, who is not only a Mormon, but he's been heavily scrutinized in his home state. And he's going to run this is going to be a tough campaign for him to win this year, I think.
Yeah, that's right. He's a Senate Majority Leader, and
yeah,
he should be promoting this, and yet he himself has cold feet.
That's right.
What an example to the rest of the Democrats.
Oh, my God, I know. Well, Ted, listen, we have to take bottom of the hour breaks. Folks, you're listening to Radio X. My guest, Reverend Ted Pike, truthtellers.org. You can find out all about this. Go look at those names. If you live in one of the states that has these people representing you, call them. The number, 1-877-851-6437. Again, all this information available at the website. Stay tuned. Bottom of the hour break. Back in 3 minutes with more Radio X. Don't go away. All right, folks. Second half of hour number one, Radio X, coming to you live Sunday, May the 16th, 2010. We're on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Jimmy X here, your host. My guest today, Reverend Ted Pike. Truthtellers.org is the name of the website. Go there. Find out all about what we're talking about and more. And Ted, yeah, we will, you were talking off air about some of the other articles you've written. We'll get to them in a moment. We were mentioning about these senators that you named, and I had said, you know, if they sound familiar, if that's your state, for example, if you're in West Virginia, of course, both Rockefeller and Byrd would be your representatives, to give them a call. Yeah, that's clout because you live in the state, but you're encouraging people from across the country to call these offices regardless of what state they live in.
Absolutely. Yeah, you see, these people are presuming to make laws which will put chains upon us, upon all of us, take away all of our freedoms and so on. So they have no right to say, well, I have a right to make national legislation, but I don't need to hear from you out in California or Nevada or whatever. That's a lie. They serve all the people. Their primary duty, immediate duty, is to their constituents, but they serve all the American people because they make the laws that will govern all of us.
That's right. And one of our listeners made a comment in the chat room concerning with all the important things that really are going on, and they pointed out this what the media is calling an oil spill. I still like that. It's a gusher. A million gallons of oil a week, they're calling it a spill. I don't understand that, but anyway, that's a topic for another time. But you know, with all these important things going on, that our elected representatives are literally wasting time and money with such a frivolous bill. I mean, something that, you know, again, how come, Reverend, the rest of us have to just be forced into dealing with things that make us uncomfortable, for example? I mean, you know, you point out somebody coming to work, you know, they leave work Friday as Ralph, and they show up on Monday, as Randy or whatever, and we're just supposed to go, eh. You know, I mean, let's face it. In the workplace, straight people proclaiming, say, what their activities were over the weekend with members of the opposite sex would probably get you in trouble, right? I mean, yeah. In the PC climate that we have today, a lot of people wouldn't put up with that. There'd be people made uncomfortable at work, and they'd probably say something about it, and the person would be reprimanded, if not let go, for misbehaving. But in this case, depending on what they feel like doing, I suppose, when they show up Monday morning, we're supposed to accept it. Why is it always the case that the rest of us just have to swallow whatever's foisted upon us?
It's because the Anti-Defamation League and the Jewish lobby control Congress. And organized world Jewry has an agenda that it wants to have accomplished according to its own timetables, according to its own objectives, working toward world control. It's as simple as that. The federal hate crimes bill, the ADL, was very profuse this fall in giving itself credit for creating, masterminding, and passing the hate bill above any other group, particularly the homosexuals. Same is true with INDA. The ADL wants to destroy Christian civilization. It wants to trash our morals and our values. It wants to insert its own twisted definitions of things like love and hate and bias and prejudice and intolerance and all those kinds of things, because it wants to destroy our society. Just like the forefathers of ADL, which is B'nai B'rith, and Jacob Schiff, who was a top B'nai B'rith insider, attempted to destroy Russia in 1917 through creation of a communist world revolutionary movement. It's as simple as that. And their feeling is that Congress can wait around like they did for weeks this spring, arguing about the federal hate crimes bill and why it should be put on a defense authorization bill, which is totally incongruous, inconveniencing everybody in order to have their objective. They're doing the same thing with INDA. They're trying to clog the legislative machinery, especially in those last few weeks before the spring recess, because as far as they're concerned, the goyim can wait around while the God's chosen people are satisfied. It's as simple as that. And while the homosexuals may posture as being in the front of promotion of this legislation, the truth is that they trail behind. They are lackeys. They are cannon fodder for ADL.
Right, and of course that explains one of the other questions I had for you, and that is, where's the money coming from? I don't think that anybody would believe that a small group of people, a group of homosexuals and lesbians or whatever have you, have that much clout without some big money behind them, and it would explain that the ADL's doing all the talking.
Well, all of these homosexual organizations are dominated by Jews. And I have an article that's coming out this week in which I will be listing the names of literally dozens and dozens of Jews who are preoccupying the leadership roles in all of the major gay rights organizations in America today. And Jewish money, of course, is ADL gets $70 million a year in donations in order to supposedly fight anti-Semitism in America. For the Jewish supremacists, money really is not the issue. They have tremendous contacts and with not only international banking and the Wall Street bankers and all of this kind of thing, but they also have a tremendously efficient money raising organization, an organization, as they they claim to be victims of anti-Semitism and watching out against incipient anti-Semitism. This brings in literally tens and tens of millions of dollars to the coffers of organizations like the Anti-Defamation League, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the American Civil Liberties Union, which are all Jewish-dominated groups.
And of course, that's how these organizations maintain their ability to do business and again to foist this nonsense on the American public. Obviously, Ted, if we didn't hear about anti-Semitic behavior on a daily basis, they'd have no funding.
Of course not. No, it's a vicious cycle. They stimulate real or imagined anti-Semitism, certainly criticism, by outrageous behavior in Israel and the Middle East, by Jewish control of the media, Jewish control of Congress and war-making potential in the Middle East, including not only Iraq, Afghanistan, but now Iran. But they stimulate hatred against Jews by taking away freedoms in dozens and dozens of countries in the Western world through their hate crimes laws. And once they've stimulated all of this anger and animus against the Jews, then it's time to put out a big newsletter describing how that anti-Semitism is rising throughout the world.
Sure.
That brings in tens of millions of dollars, increasing their potential for misbehavior and then more money making.
That's right. And again, speaking of the media, I'm glad you brought that up. It's one of the things I wanted to ask you about, too. I see it's the modus operandi as usual here. The media is miraculously silent on this bill, Ted, just like they were with the hate crimes bill. They did was it was never brought to the American public's attention until the day that the thing was going to be signed.
Absolutely.
And what that effectively did was stifle anyone who didn't, a majority of Americans who had no idea about it. All of a sudden, they just found out, oh, look, the president's going to sign this bill. Oh, look, he just signed this bill.
Yeah.
And they're doing the same thing with ENDA. I guarantee you the mainstream won't touch this until it's ready to be signed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and this is, again, they're keeping us in the dark, Ted. That's why what you do is so important. That's why I keep in touch with you from time to time, and why we need people like you to watch out for some of these shenanigans.
Absolutely. And in fact, I am the only voice in the nation which is pointing a Christian conservative right to protest to these crucial 13 Democrats. We made a study just this last week of all the religious New Right organizations, and we found all of them doing things and recommending programs which were really not effective, like petitions and faxes and things like that, which have not effectively been shown to powerfully impact the legislative process. Our contacts with staffers and even congressmen have resoundingly come back with the answer that the old-fashioned telephone call of one person with strong emotions impacting those strong feelings on a staffer who then translates that into not only statistics but perhaps into statements and descriptions going to the congressman. The message coming out of lobbyists in Washington that is still by far the most effective way to make legislative change. But do you realize that not one that I have found, hardly even one that I even know of all the big religious right organizations, even provide a phone call, a phone number out front?
Ted, we're coming up to the last break of the show. Hold that thought for a moment. No, that's very interesting. I want to pick up where we left off. 3 minutes, folks. We'll be back. More Radio X on the way. Stay with us. Okay, folks, last segment of hour number one of Radio X. And Jimmy X here with you, my guest, Reverend Ted Pike. Reverend, final segment of the show here, at least, as I said, this hour has been pointed out to me several times by people that it's not really the end of the show, just hour number one. So hopefully I've appeased them. Before we went to the break, you were talking about organized religious groups not really doing much of anything concerning this, even though one would suspect that it's against their beliefs, no?
Well, absolutely. And this is a pattern I've seen literally over the years in which the very largest Christian conservative so-called watchdog organizations do things which make them money in the process of fighting bad legislation, but are not effective, directly effective in holding back that legislation. For example, they will send out millions of petitions or statements, cards, or communications to members of Congress through FedEx and organizations like that, and they'll say, "You send in your 1995, and we will blitz every member of Congress with your protest," and so on. But what happens is that once a few of those arrive at these jaded Democrats' front door, they understand the game, and the boxes, the huge boxes, piles of boxes, are sent back to the Senate mail room, and they sit there, and so on. There's the illusion that great public outcry is taking place, but it really doesn't work that way. Actually, these organizations get about 50% commission, so they're making about $10 profit off of every $20 donation that's sent into them to get these faxes and communications sent in. And not only that, but when they have these big petition drives, for example, right now, all Dobson is doing, Focus on the Family is doing, is having a big petition, a drive against ENDA, and who knows when those petitions will ever arrive. It never seems to happen. But meanwhile, literally hundreds of thousands of names, valuable names and addresses and so on, are gotten, which can be sold and rented perpetually to the direct mail companies. So, but the most glaring thing that we're finding through this survey this week is that none of these organizations are simply encouraging people to phone in, especially to these 13 crucial Democrats. Instead, they have these other very indirect money-making proposals, and there's never a prominent telephone number for Congress and the Senate right up front. It's as if they don't really want people directing their energies, shooting their energies toward Congress. They want people to direct their energies toward some kind of money-making scheme or sale of books or sale of videos as a part of their opposition to these programs. We at truthtellers.org have done exactly the opposite of that over the years. Number one, we put those phone numbers up and the messages so people without the slightest delay or obstruction can get those calls going directly to Congress. And perhaps, unfortunately, it means that they don't come back and buy our videos or books or anything like that. But that's just kind of the price of doing battle.
I don't know. Are these organized religions afraid of being branded? Obviously, it's got to go against the scripture, I would assume, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would make sense, since they're all basically using the same text for all intents and purposes. I mean, what are these people afraid of, really?
Well, number one, the religious right has always been paralyzed with fear against the ADL, and it knows that the ADL is right under the surface when it comes to hate crimes legislation. And if they go after the ADL as the originator of hate crimes laws, they know the ADL is going after them, finding some way to call them anti-Semitic. And that, of course, will cause all of their, just the dropping of that term against them on the national media will cause literally thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of their followers to stop supporting them and head for the tall grass, away from the embarrassment and fear that they would be linked to an anti-Semitic organization. And all of these are quintessentially Jewish masterminded and originated bills. And so the religious right has an absolutely atrocious record of effectively fighting hate crimes legislation. In fact, you see, I've been on the front last year, more than a year ago. Our organization sounded the alarm when the federal hate crimes bills were introduced in the House, and yet for that whole period leading clear up to the final passage at the end of July, we had virtually no cooperation or sounding the message in sympathy with us from the two of the very largest organizations, Focus on the Family and Family Research Council. These are considered the two biggest ones, yet they were virtually silent, virtually uncooperative. Instead, all they did was to have a petition drive during that whole time, making good money off of many idealistic people thinking they were doing something to halt the hate bill.
That's right, and that would be James Dobson's organization.
That's right.
Focus on the Family. We don't have a whole lot of time here. Ted, I want to just point something out that you're talking about some of the other peripheral bills that Congress is, of course, looking at. We've talked about some of these in the past, but I just want to point them out. We have the Student Non-Discrimination Act. This is about, it's going to be a federal hate crime to criticize a grade or high school student for his or her homosexuality. I mean, it doesn't get any crazier than this. The Average Child Deserves a Family Act, of course, forcing adoption agencies to place foster children with homosexuals. I mean, it's going to put Catholic Charities, I guess, right out of business, right?
Absolutely.
And the Freedom from Discrimination and Credit Act, making it a federal crime to deny a homosexual who may, for example, be dying of AIDS, as you point out, a loan because of his or her homosexual. I mean, what we've really devolved, haven't we? I mean, as a society, we've devolved. We have not evolved.
Well, it's the eye of this octopus is ADL, an organized world Jewry, which have a global agenda of a new world order in which they're going to be in the driver's seat. Let's not blame ourselves necessarily for all this. Let's put the blame right where it belongs on ADL. And that's why I make such a point out of focusing on ADL. Dangerous as it might be, I have to be the sentry on the wall crying out and accurately describing the true enemy of Christian civilization. And organized world Jewry, Talmudic world Jewry, is intent on doing everything they can to break down Christian capitalist civilization in order that their Messiah, their New World Order centering in Jerusalem can take place. As long as Christianity is strong, as long as capitalism is strong, they don't have a ghost of chance of bringing about their own messianic New World Order. But if they can trash everything and break everything down possible, then they have a chance through their money power, the Federal Reserve, and international power over governments, particularly, to make this a reality.
Right. And, of course, just as in the hate crimes bill that passed last year, it's not about protecting us as a group. It's protecting certain people at the expense of others. It's a shame, and it's unfortunate, Ted. That's why I pointed out the media's role in this, again, of basically ignoring it. You know, doing the dirty work there for the ADL. Keep it under a rock until it's about to be passed. It won't give the American people any forewarning about it. It's sad what's happened, but, you know, again, there is something we can do. We can make our voices heard. All of that information is available at truthtellers.org. Ted, give us that toll-free number again to call your elected representatives.
Yes, it's 877-851-6437. Again, that's 877-851-6437. Just tell them, please don't vote for this outrageous end of legislation. And they'll tally that, and it'll get to the member of the Senate.
Okay. Well, Ted, again, truthtellers.org is the website. We have less than a minute. I want to thank you once again for taking time out to come on the show. I always do appreciate it. And we'll have you back soon. Keep us updated. And, again, there's going to be a new report by Reverend Ted Pike coming up later today at his website. You're saying that's going to be sometime this evening, you think,
Ted? That'll be probably up by 9 or 10 tonight. Another very encouraging report of what's happening, especially in the Senate scene.
All right, very good. Well, Reverend, thank you so much for coming on the show today, sir.
Thank you so much, Jimmy.
No problem. We'll be in touch. All right, folks, there he goes, Reverend Ted Pike, truthtellers.org. We'll keep you posted. I have to admire Reverend Pike. He's doing yeoman's work, keeping us alerted to some of the things that are going on behind the scenes. You know, again, at the expense of the majority of Americans. It's sad, and it bothers me something terrible. But, again, call your senator, call your representative, get involved, and say no. Hour number two, Radio X, on the way in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us, folks.